T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We unfortunately have some very sobering numbers to report today, and so I'm asking everyone to please pay careful attention and take stock of this report. Since our update yesterday, there have been 1,212 new cases reported for a total of 5,237 cases statewide. That is a 30% increase in our overall case count, and it's by far the largest number of positive cases that we have reported in any 24-hour period. And sadly, there have been 54 additional deaths, bringing the total number of deaths in the state to 239. There are now reported cases in 60 of 64 parishes, with St. Lena Parish being the latest one added to the list. As I've been saying, make no mistake, there is no parish, there is no community in the state of Louisiana that is free of the virus and free of the disease, COVID-19. When we see numbers like the ones we're seeing today, it reaffirms why I have already made the decision to extend the stay-at-home order until at least April the 30th. And as I mentioned yesterday, that proclamation will be done by the end of the week. It also reaffirms to me that we have yet to see any evidence that we are beginning to flatten the curve. That is extremely important. And so the order is going to continue. And quite frankly, compliance has to improve. We need to see better results. Numbers like we're reporting today keep us on a very steep trajectory in terms of our case growth. And we know that that puts us firmly on a path to exceeding our capacity to deliver health care. And I'll point this out just two bits of information. Since March the 26th, the number of COVID patients in our hospitals have doubled across the state, and the number of patients in our hospitals on ventilators have doubled in the state as well since March 26th. So now more than ever, we need better compliance. We need to practice the social distancing. We've got to wash our hands, control things, stay at home. Don't go out unless it's essential, all of those things. And we obviously have to continue to surge our medical capacity. Later today, I will sign a proclamation dealing with licensure, making it easier for medical professionals to come to Louisiana and to practice. I am so incredibly grateful for our medical professionals here in Louisiana and those from other states who have volunteered to come and help. Obviously, these are the heroes today, our doctors, our nurses, our respiratory therapists, you name it, all of these people, in addition to our first responders. Additionally, the proclamation will make clear that services be conducted as expeditiously as possible and that they are limited to the crowd size of 10 that we have in our order. I would like to remind everyone that Delta Airlines has agreed to start paying for flights for medical professionals from out of state. We very much appreciate this. We are asking those medical professionals to register at LAVA. That's lava.dhh.louisiana.gov. and they will be credentialed there, and that will help us be organized and get those volunteers to where. In addition, we anticipate that 4,846 healthcare students will be graduating in our state in the next 2 months, and will be coming online to help to support the workforce and engage in this fight against COVID-19. These professionals will include nurses and doctors and pharmacists and respiratory care therapists, EMTs, and really all of the allied healthcare professionals. They will be able to assist in every region of our state. As we announced yesterday, we will have 1,000 beds ready at the Morial Convention Center by this Sunday, April the 5th, and 250 beds ready in the personal housing unit across the street from the convention center. Today, I authorized an additional 1,000 beds in the convention center. The second 1,000 beds will be ready by April the 20th. That will bring us to a total of 2,000 beds in the convention center. This is in direct response to the number of patients we believe that we're going to have to move out of our hospitals to the convention center for medical monitoring as they continue their recovery process. Again, the concept here is we will take our non-fragile patients who are not yet ready to be discharged from a hospital and move them out of the acute care beds and the other beds in our tier one hospitals, freeing up those beds so that they can be made available to other patients sooner and more frequently than would otherwise be the case. It is anticipated in the New Orleans area that we will exceed our capacity with respect to ventilators as early as April the 4th, as April the 7th in our hospitals, which is why we're setting up these other beds, as I mentioned. And on that note, I do want to thank President Trump for approving 150 additional ventilators to the state of Louisiana. This decision was made yesterday and communicated to us. We appreciate it very much. Certainly, it is not everything that we need, but it will help. Thus far, despite the fact that for weeks now we have been trying to acquire ventilators by the thousands. In fact, I think we have about 14,000 on order, both with respect to the national stockpile and with respect to private vendors. We have received 292 to date from private vendors, and that includes an additional 100 that came in yesterday, and the 150 from the national strategic stockpile, which has not yet been delivered here to Louisiana, but we expect to receive those very soon. The Vice President called me today and made sure that I was aware that we were receiving these ventilators, and he wanted to discuss other things related to our response to COVID-19 here in Louisiana, and I appreciate him taking the time to make that call. I do know that the media is very interested in being able to go in, take a look at, and take photographs and video inside the convention center. As you know, there's ongoing construction right now, but we anticipate that it will be ready for walkthrough in at least one of the wings a little later this week, and we'll be announcing to you all when you all can go down and do that. You know, we've talked a lot recently about the convention center in New Orleans, which is going to be very important, obviously, in Region 1, which is the state's largest hotspot at present with respect to cases, but we are increasing our medical capacity, our surge capacity across the state of Louisiana, including here in the Baton Rouge area. Baton Rouge General has announced that they will be reopening their mid-city campus for the purpose of increasing medical capacity in response to COVID-19. While that campus has been closed, it's been maintained with much of the equipment still in place. The facility will include inpatient hospital beds, ICU beds, and an emergency room. The facility will open as early as next week with an estimated 84 beds. The licensed bed capacity will grow over time and in phases. Baton Rouge General is managing the staffing of this facility, and I want to tell everyone affiliated with Baton Rouge General that we very much appreciate them stepping up, expanding their capacity. And really, that goes to all of the hospitals and systems across the state of Louisiana. It's important to note that this will be a fully functioning hospital and ER for all patients who need care, whether they are diagnosed with COVID-19 or have other medical needs. And obviously, this is different from the convention center, which is going to be a medical monitoring station for COVID patients only, and you won't be able to go to the convention center in New Orleans on your own in order to seek care or treatment. And we're also not going to allow visitors there to see the patients who are going to be there. Everybody who goes to the convention center will be transferred to that facility by a hospital. We will be moving to expand capacity in several regions of the state, similar to what we're doing at the convention center. We have a little more time in the rest of the state, and our modeling is being brought up to date as new data comes online. So we will be looking at that. Again, to be the similar strategy in mind, where we take the non-fragile patients out of hospitals, place them in these medical monitoring units around the state, freeing up those hospital beds sooner and more frequently than would otherwise be the case. As you all can see from the numbers today, we have a long way to go. And I will say again what I've been saying for weeks now. This still is going to get worse before it gets better. We don't know how much worse, but we do know that we can, to some degree, control how much worse it gets. We know that mitigation measures work. We know that the stay-at-home order works. Social distancing works. But these measures only work to the degree that people comply with them. And I am urging everyone across the state of Louisiana, if for some reason it didn't register with you before today, we can't do anything about what happened or didn't happen yesterday, but you can start right now and make sure that you are compliant with these orders and that you're not unnecessarily exposing you and your family and others to the virus, especially those who are medically vulnerable because of underlying conditions or because of advanced age. And certainly we owe it to our healthcare workers not to put more demand on them than is absolutely necessary. So I implore everyone to embrace these mitigation measures, stay at home, stop the spread, and save lives. Be patient, be determined, be focused, and I remain fully confident that we're going to get through this. It's not going to be soon, and it's not going to be easy, but we are resilient people, and we are faithful people, and we're going to get through this. As always, I have Dr. Biyu here to answer any questions related to testing, and at this time, I'll be happy to take your questions. Greg.
Governor, what do you think about the Texas governor issuing this, it's kind of checkpoints for Louisiana residents? Yeah.
Well, first of all, I've been assured by Colonel Reeves, who's talked to his counterpart in Texas, that they really aren't doing checkpoints. They're not affirmatively stopping out-of-state travelers, whether they're from Louisiana or elsewhere. And I've had that reaffirmed to me about an hour ago. So I think there's some miscommunication about what really is happening in Texas. And I do understand that if law enforcement there comes into contact with someone from Louisiana, they may be asking them about their plans to quarantine for 14 days and so forth. But I don't believe that they're affirmatively stopping individuals. And so I don't think we have what you characterize as a checkpoint happening. It's sort of an aside, but I will note that there was no checkpoint for our National Guardsmen and wildlife and fisheries agents and our state troopers and our fire marshal's office individuals when they went into Vidor, Texas, and Port Arthur, Texas, and Orange, Texas, a couple of years ago in order to conduct search and rescue of our neighbors in Texas. Yes, ma'am.
On the 150 ventilators from the National Strategic Stockpile, did you get a sense of the timeline for when they're going to arrive, and are they going to arrive in enough time to push back that date when the state is going to run out of ventilators?
Yeah, but yes. We expect to receive them very quickly, today or tomorrow. They will be here in advance, we believe, of when we will exceed our capacity. However, the number of new patients needing ventilators under the modeling that we're seeing, the 150 will only get us about a day or so, maybe two, if we get really lucky before we've exceeded that capacity again, which is why we're continuing to bring in ventilators as quickly as possible. And we're not just bringing in new ventilators from vendors. We're out scouring the medical community, trying to figure out where we have ventilators that are not in need, for example, at our ambulatory surgical centers and long-term acute care facilities and so forth. These places are not operational. We're trying to get those devices to our Tier 1 hospitals to augment what they're doing. Now, they are not ideal. They are better than not having a ventilator at all. I will tell you, I was very pleased to find out that the types of ventilators we're getting from the Strategic National Stockpile, those 150, they are top-of-the-line ventilators that you would expect to see in an ICU.
Did you include the 150 in the April 4th date that you said, or is that, does it buy you a day or 2 days on top of that?
Yeah, and you know, Melinda, my concern is you're trying to be very, very precise, and we all need to be, but we have data that we're putting in every single day. We have to try to figure out by the model what the rate of transmission is at any given time, what that case growth looks like, how many of the people who have a case of COVID-19 are going to be in the hospital, how many of those people are going to need a ventilator. And in addition to that, which is happening over time, what ventilator capacity can we add? And so we're trying to be as precise as we can be, but you know, I cannot give you the exact day and hour when I know for a fact we're going to run out of ventilators. But even with the 150, it's going to be around April the 4th or 5th. And that's according to the modeling that we're getting right now. Yes, sir.
Governor, do we have a sense, you said, I think, yesterday that April 12th was a projection for running out of hospitals.
Yeah.
To have gotten worse. If
yeah.
Is there a specific factor that's the main thing driving that date up right now that you can point to?
Well, every day we take the data that we learned over the previous 24 hours, and we put it into the model, and I get a briefing about what that timeline looks like. But the timeline, you know, you have to make certain assumptions, and that is the, and I don't want to be terribly, you know, difficult here, because it's something that I'm only coming to understand now, but you got to figure out what is that R-naught factor, and the R-naught means is the rate of spread, and that's changing a little bit, and so you have to make an assumption about what it is. You can feel pretty comfortable about the, but the exact line is a little bit harder. So you have to try to make an assumption about where you really are. And there's a difference of several days on either side of that. And that's why we can't be more precise than we are being. But it underscores the need to surge our capacity as quickly as we can, but also to slow the spread as quickly as we can. I will point out that the number of cases that came in today, and we're still trying to digest and fully understand the testing that informs today's numbers. But it well could be, for example, that a huge number of these tests were done by private labs. Perhaps the drive-through labs that have been opened in Jefferson Parish and Orleans and doing 750 tests a day. But we had a log jam, if you'll so to speak, in getting those test results back. And it may be that jam opened up, and so we got a flood of tests in at one time. What that does to the overall trajectory that we're on, and make the very best decisions that we can. And we want to be as honest and straightforward as we can in sharing the data that we're getting. And while we're making the decisions we're making. But the two things that remain absolutely consistent from the very first time that we held one of these press conferences is that we need to surge our medical capacity, and we need the public to engage in better practices related to social distancing and better compliance related to the stay-at-home order. because that's how we're going to bend the curve. And I want you to know that I know we can do better. I believe we will do better. The stay-at-home order was issued at such a time that really, if it's going to have an impact on reducing the rate of growth in these cases, we would actually start to see that in the next couple of days. And at least that's what I've been told to expect. And so these numbers today, especially if they include tests that were administered as many as 7 days ago, don't necessarily tell us that the stay-at-home order isn't being effective. But it does tell us that we have no reason yet to believe we are flattening the curve. I hope, I pray, and we're working to make sure that happens just as soon as possible. Yes, sir, Jeff?
You might have kind of answered this already talking about the rate, but the 14,000 requests that you have for ventilators, where does that number come from? Where do you believe that you need? Right now you're at 420 yeah. patients being, I mean, that tells you that the problem yeah. could get
well,
significantly worse.
Well, Jeff, as you can imagine, we have an idea how many ventilators that we need across the state. It is in the several thousands. We've ordered more than that because you never know which vendor is going to be able to get a supply to send you at any given time. And so we have three vendors that we've ordered 2,000 each from. We have a couple of vendors where we've ordered 1,000 each from. It depends on what we think we might be able to get. And we've asked for the Strategic National Stockpile to send us 5,000. So if you add all that up, it's about 14,000 or so that we put on order. We don't need 14,000, but if I knew for a fact that I could get all that I wanted from one vendor, I wouldn't be ordering from another. And that's part of the complications that are popping up all over the country as states compete with one another and with hospitals and other medical providers. And I assume to some degree we may be competing against the federal government too. But that is the rather disjointed procurement effort that is playing out all across the country right now, which is difficult to navigate through. And I suspect it's also increasing the prices of these devices beyond what would ordinarily be seen. Yes, sir.
We understand the East Baton Rouge District Attorney plans to charge the pastor in Central with 6 counts of misdemeanor, essentially disobeying your stay-at-home order. Are you concerned by the optics of arresting a pastor right now?
Well, I'm concerned about a lot of things. One of those, not just the optics, because optics by them don't hurt anybody, but the practice of the pastor continuing to engage in services where he had more people in the congregation than he should have under the order by a large measure, by the way, and not practicing social distancing, that disturbs me too. It is very unfortunate that any leader of any kind, business leader, community leader, faith leader, would choose and make the conscious decision to violate what is a legal order and one that is imperative for public health. So, I don't like the optics of, and by the way, I don't know that anybody has been or will be arrested. That may happen. I don't know what the local authorities are going to do. I think they served a summons on him for violating the order. And I think that's all that has happened now. And I'm going to appeal to that pastor and to anybody who might also be out there either violating the order or giving some thought to doing it. I'm going to appeal to him one more time. Please stop what you're doing. It in the grand scheme of things, it just doesn't make sense. And the overwhelming majority of our faith leaders have found other ways to engage with their parishioners, doing it online. Or Facebook or all the different means that they have at their disposal today. And I would encourage him to do the same thing. It just only makes sense. And maybe this action that was taken today will be enough to get his attention. I will tell you that the law enforcement authorities in East Baton Rouge Parish have been extremely patient. There have been numerous conversations with this pastor, and they have done everything that they could to try to get him to become compliant before they took this step today. Maybe this will be the step that actually gets his attention and brings him into compliance. Yes, sir.
Obviously, going back to those 150 ventilators, a few days ago when you spoke with FEMA, you said you would ask for them to cut Louisiana a piece of the pie. Is this the piece, this 150, yeah. Is this kind of what, for the foreseeable future, you see the state getting from the feds? And then this morning, the New York governor mentioned looking for PPE and ventilators is like, it's bidding on eBay, basically, and then FEMA comes in. Is that kind of the same thing you're seeing from the state standpoint?
Yeah, I think I described the process just a while ago as to what we're doing and what other states are doing, and it's not a model of efficiency, and I think that that's unfortunate, but it is the method that we're using. In fact, it's the method that we've been told to use as it relates to PPE and to ventilators. Obviously, the 150 ventilators are 150 more than we had before this was granted. It is a slice of that pie. Obviously, we're not giving up just yet because ventilators in the strategic national stockpile, and I think that they continue to look for demonstrated need among the states, and they're going to take that into consideration in making additional allocations, and so we're not going to stop asking for ventilators, and we're also not going to stop trying to source them elsewhere because we really need to increase that capacity here in Louisiana. Yes, sir.
Governor, St. Charles Parish now has one of the highest per capita death rates in the country. I think they have 12 deaths there. Any idea if there's like a nursing home or some explanation for that? And also, can you speak to just the 54, which are by far our largest death increase, which I understand that confirmed cases are affected by testing lags or whatever, but do you have any explanation for the 54 deaths also?
I do not. I'm not able to really do anything but guess about St. Charles, and I'm not going to do that. Maybe Dr. BU knows whether there's any specific thing that he can attribute that to. I can just tell you it's unfortunate as I look statewide, and there's been a lot of focus on New Orleans and Jefferson Parish. I mean, just look at those numbers: 1,834 in Orleans Parish, 1,193. In Jefferson, but look at the 242 in Caddo and the 63 next door in Bossier. That's what Orleans and Jefferson looked like not too long ago. And so all of this death, all of these cases are very, very concerning to me and to other people all across the state of Louisiana. I grieve for every single one of the 239 people that we're reporting that have died, regardless of what parish they come from. And I don't know whether you wanted to offer any.
No.
Okay.
Last question.
Greg.
So, I know you tried to explain this, but you talked about the sobering number today, and it's a very startling number.
Yeah.
Was it startling to you, or is it, Dr. BU?
I'm going to ask Dr. BU to come in, because I've addressed it the only way that I know how, and there's no way to see that number and not be startled. And look, I'm telling people to expect things to get worse before they get better, and I saw the number and I was startled, okay? But I believe the number could be informed by test results that stacked up over a number of days, but that kind of broke through today. If that is true, then we should see something smaller than that tomorrow. I pray that that is the case. I've been wanting to see that for a long time. We want to see it on a consistent basis, especially going forward, because the stay-at-home order, if it is going to be effective in flattening the curve, we should start to see that play out in the very near future. So this is the last question of the day, and I'm going to ask Dr. BU to come and share his perspective on this.
Thank you, Governor. I share the governor's sentiments. I think any time that we see that number increasing, and look, we're looking at models, we know what other cities are seeing, it's still, you feel that in your stomach when you see a number like that add. But as the governor noted, as we drill down into that data, what we see, my team that's getting these results tells me that 90% of those were coming from commercial labs. We know, we've heard they're waiting longer than advertised for their commercial lab results to come back in. What we can't tell you is who in that mix of those 90% of those positives that were waiting on a commercial lab had their test done 4 days ago, 5 days ago, 6 days ago, or more. We do know that usually means that the people who are making up that positive count would have been more likely to people not being tested in the hospital. People who are most at the time of testing to be at home. What we don't know is after that, did they feel sicker? Did they eventually have to go to the hospital? And so there's a lot that we would love to change about the pace of testing, about the pace of the results coming in from commercial labs so we could track in our models. But that's where we also have the hospital data that we're tracking, where that is much more real time. And that gives us a better sense. So for the moment, what we know is 90% of that large increase was commercial. I agree with the governor that means I'd find it very unlikely that we would have such a large number tomorrow if it's truly a glut. But as we said yesterday, I think when we were talking about what do we make of these changes, we're looking at this data every day. I mean, my team is looking at it hourly. It's really hard to draw big conclusions day by day. What you have to be doing is trending this out over time. And that's certainly what we're doing. That's what we're building in. And the basic point remains the same. The message to all of us is this is serious. And unfortunately, as we saw for an additional 54 individuals, this is deadly. And the more COVID you have in the state, the more likely you are to be having people who are very sick and who end up in the hospital. The more likely people are in the hospital, the more likely they are sick enough that they could potentially die from this virus. And so the most important thing that we can do is slow the spread of this virus. And that is all the work that we've been talking about, staying home, not taking your life in your hands, taking your to slow the spread of this virus. Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.